Morning, brothers and sisters. Let's first turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Start in verse 23. 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of the bread, drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. Now, Acts chapter 20. The book of Acts, chapter 20, this is where Paul is in Troas, and we'll actually just read the first part of this one verse. It's Acts chapter 20, the first part of verse 7. And on the first day of the week, when we gathered together to break bread, And finally, over in 1 Peter, we've been encouraged this morning out of 1 Peter 1, and let's look at some verses out of 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. And coming to him as a living stone rejected by men, but choice and precious in the sight of God, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Let's pray. Lord, we are so grateful to be able to continue in Thy presence. Lord, as we come this morning, this time is a little bit different. A little bit of a message, a little bit of a summary, a little bit of a report. But Lord, we're every bit dependent upon You. And we offer ourselves afresh. Lord, we're not looking for rules, techniques. We're looking for a very living way on how we can enter in and truly remember You at the Lord's table. Lord, we're thankful for the opportunity we have every week to gather in Thy presence. But Lord, we yearn for so much more. And we're thankful, Lord, that You are speaking to us in this day and in this time. So we open our hearts, Lord, You could continue to speak. You would teach us, Lord, and show us more and more of Your ways in this hour. That as we learn of Your ways, we would know You in a fuller measure. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as was shared, the brothers have been meeting together on Sunday night for a while, and really the desire of our time together is that we as brothers, and really the whole assembly, could be strengthened. None of us are satisfied where we are. We all desire to be in a better position in the Lord together. And as we've been considering various aspects of our life together. And recently we've been considering this matter of spiritual responsibility during the Lord's table. And we've had several meetings on it, and the Lord has been very rich in meeting us. And it was shared during that time, it would be good to share it with everybody. As I prayed this morning, as It's a little bit different because in one way I'm representing the brothers from Sunday night, kind of sharing a report. So if I mess up, I get all of them mad at me. Also trying to share some thoughts from the Lord's heart and give a summary and a report. And so but the one thing as we look at this, we'll be sharing some specific things. But as we fellowshiped on Sunday nights, we're not looking to establish a book of church worship. How do you do it? We're looking for the Lord's way in this. In this, we share some practical helps, some practical ways. But above all, the essence is that our own personal relationship would be strengthened with the Lord. As we in our daily lives are strengthened in Him, as we in our daily lives enter into more of the spiritual exercise that we've heard about, as we in our daily lives enter into being more of His disciples that we've been encouraged with lately, the overflow of that will be reflected in our time together. But we're looking and are jealous for a greater expression of the Lord's life during our time. That's why we're meeting on Sunday night, and really that's why we're conveying these thoughts to all of us this morning. So today, as we look at this, I thought it'd be good if we could look at 3 points. And it would be the purpose of the Lord's table meeting. What is the purpose on why we gather? And secondly, the preparation for that time, the preparation for the Lord's table. And finally, the participation during the Lord's table. And that as we're considering these, the Lord would show each and every one of us how to be spiritually responsible during this time. So before we get into that, maybe it'd be good just to touch a little bit on what is this matter of spiritual responsibility. What is the Lord really saying to us? And spiritual responsibility is very closely related. You can't separate it from spiritual exercise or being made disciples that we've heard of recently. One of the questions we have is, who is to be spiritually responsible? Who is to be spiritually responsible? Brothers and sisters, each and every one of us that have been born again are to be spiritually responsible during this time that we have together. Each and every one of us, it's not just left to a few. It's not just left to the brothers. It's not just left to the older ones. It's each and every one of us who the Lord has called us into this living hope, has called us into this place of responsibility. It's for each and every one of us to be before Him in a way that He can be speaking to our hearts, coming to our time as ones that are really desiring to meet with the Lord, not just coming in a passive way, not just coming, as we'll talk later, and to attend a meeting, not just being passive, but to really enter in. Because we see, as we read in 1 Peter, how we have been made priests. I love the verses. If you look back there in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, you are a royal priesthood. And I love how the Holy Spirit speaks in the very present tense. He doesn't say, I will make you a priesthood. I will make you priest. He says, when you are born again, you are a priest. So within this room this morning, each and every one of us that is born again are priests unto our Lord. And as those priests, as it says in verse 5, we offer those spiritual sacrifices unto Him. You know, praise God, brothers and sisters, in the Old Testament, there was only a few that could really approach the Lord and offer those spiritual sacrifices. But because of the new covenant and everything our Lord has done, He has brought all of us into this privileged place of ministering unto Him and remembering Him at the table. It's not for an elite few. It's not for ones that have been believers for 20 years. When we are born again, we're born again and made priests unto our God. And we have this wonderful opportunity. Every day in our lives, we can minister unto Him. And then we have a unique privilege as we gather together with brothers and sisters to offer up these spiritual sacrifices to Him. If you think of the priest in the Old Testament, you know, they had to obtain that offering. And then they had to prepare the offering. And then they had to offer the offering. They had to participate. there was this process they went through. It wasn't in a careless way. It was very specifically defined for them on all that they went through in the preparation and the participation that they were able to enjoy. And in the same way, while we don't have rules and regulations, the Lord has given us some guidelines and some principles that we can learn in this matter of preparation and that we can learn in this matter of participation during our Lord's table time. We're so thankful that we have been brought into this wonderful place. But what is spiritual responsibility? To me, spiritual responsibility is simply just having a living, personal relationship with the Lord, hearing His voice and obeying Him. There's many other ways you can define it, but just to me, it simply means having that living, personal, daily relationship with Him, that we're in that place to hear His voice and then do or obey what He says to us. That's being responsible. Responsible is responding to Him. Responding when He speaks to us and being obedient to what He's asking us to do. It's not complicated. But there's a simplicity in responding to Him that He's called us to. So in being responsible during the Lord's table is simply coming prepared and being willing to participate during our time together as the Holy Spirit directs us. Maybe as we say this, we come and we say, but I don't know how. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to be spiritual. Praise God, you don't know how. The problem we quite often have so frequently is we think we know how. We think we know how to come into the Lord's presence and worship Him. We think we know how to do this. But in reality, we don't. Remember how the disciples, when they were with the Lord, they knew they didn't know how to pray, so they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And we're in the same way. Lord, teach us to pray. But do we have that same teachable inquiring of the Lord in this matter of remembering Him at the table? Or do we come in and say, oh, I know how to do that, so I don't need to be taught? No, we need to learn from the Holy Spirit that He would really teach us in the freshness of His life how we are to remember Him at His table, how we are to be spiritually responsible during our time together. And not come into this place as experts, but we come as learners, learning of Him, that the Holy Spirit, every time we're together, can teach us something new and fresh of the wonderful way that we can remember Him. And we're thankful over the years, brothers and sisters, as an assembly, we've had a lot of teaching on the priesthood of all believers. And we have a concept of the priesthood of all believers. But we haven't fully entered into the reality of all that means. We have entered in part. I'm not discrediting how the Lord has worked. You know, there's an aspect that we've entered into. But one of the things we see in the Lord, when you enter into some of Him, there's always so much more. On this earth, we never touch the fullness of Him. We enter into a little bit of the priesthood of all believers, but there's so much more. We enter into remembering Him at His table. But we see all of a sudden, there's so much more. The vastness and the riches of our Lord. And He's jealous that we would enter into that. And this is one of the things, as brothers have been sharing, and I think we can all relate to, we have such a tendency to become content with the little bit. We enter in a little bit, and we say, ah, I'm satisfied. And we settle down. But the Lord doesn't want us to be with a little satisfaction. He wants us to enter into the much more of His life, the much more of our time together. We're responsible a little bit. Well, He wants us to be much more responsible, or even however you say that. I'm not an English guy, but there's a much more in the Lord that He's calling us to enter into. And would we have that heart to enter into that? So let's look at a moment on the purpose of the Lord's table. Now, I'm not gonna be sharing this morning a teaching on all of the meanings and everything related to the Lord's table, because the really focus we have is the question, how can we be spiritually responsible during our times together? We see from the Scriptures that we've read, and we know from the Gospels also, this table that we partake of was originated from the Lord. This is not man's invention. Man didn't come up and say, how can we remember the Lord? What can we do to honor our Lord? No. This originated from His heart. This was so precious to Him. It was one of the last things He did upon this earth. As He gathered His disciples together, I love how it says there in 1 Corinthians 11, it said, on the night He was betrayed, He wasn't occupied with His betrayal, but He was occupied with conveying this spirit of remembering Him to His disciples, and of how He took that cup and He took that loaf, and how He was calling them to remember Him until, do this in remembrance of me until I come again. And this remembering Him, it's a spirit of remembrance, but it's also a spirit of testifying, the spirit of proclaiming. It's a spirit of showing forth the excellency of who He is and what He has done. We saw there in the book of Acts, this was such an integral part of the early church life. This was not an optional part. We know from Acts 2:42, and we saw in Acts 20, it was normal, integral part of the church life in the early days of gathering together to remember the Lord, to break that bread, and to put Him in remembrance. Our Lord, quite often He says, to me it's always been one of the most humbling things that the Lord would have to say, remember me. But if we look at the nation of Israel, we know how quickly they forgot. And how do we think we are any different? I'm thankful for this table. You know, it brings to remembrance our Lord. And the purpose that we gather together on Sunday morning is to remember Him. We gather together each Lord's Day as we gather around this table to remember Him. And the focus is on Him. The focus isn't on us. The focus is upon Him and all that He has done. We declare, we testify of who He is. As we gather and we proclaim it, it's not only a visible testimony, but there's an invisible testimony also. We're testifying to a spiritual reality of His life and His death and His resurrection. These are not just symbols, symbolic of His death, as some believe. And we're not reenacting the Mass, as the Catholics would do. But no, we are here entering into a spiritual reality and touching that reality of all that our Lord has done. And it's just as real today as it was when it was historically done 2,000 years ago. There's a reality and it speaks to each one of our hearts. We're also testifying as we gather around this table that we're gathering unto Him. He is our all and in all, and we're gathering in simplicity simply unto Him. We're not gathering unto a teaching. We're not gathering unto an experience. We're not gathering unto a name, but we're gathering unto Him, the one who has first loved us and called us unto Himself. We're so thankful that we have this privilege, brothers and sisters, every week to remember that we're gathering unto Him. And sometimes we get lost in the simplicity. There's a simplicity in our gathering that we can lose. And the Lord wants to bring us back to that simplicity and purity of our devotion to Him. As we gather around this table, there's another aspect of our testimony, and it's testifying of the oneness of the body of Christ. As we look around upon this earth, it breaks all of our hearts. We see all the divisions. We see the condition of the Lord's house, His people. But we gather in a reality that we are one with every brother and sister upon this earth. There's one body. There's not a body in Richmond and a body in California. There's one body that we gather unto. And we testify of that one body. One day, there's a hope that body will be reunited. All of the things, the petty little things that we have allowed to divide us, that we have thought were so important. One day, there is that bringing together from every tribe, from every tongue, from every nation, a people unto itself. We're remembering that. We're testifying to it, regardless of what the world says, regardless of what Christianity says of the many divisions. We're testifying that we're one with every brother and sister. There's one cup, there's one loaf. And we do this in remembrance of Him who has first loved us. One of the things that as we were sharing about the purpose of the meeting was to clarify also that sometimes we can have a thought, we have two meetings. During our first hour, we have a meeting for the breaking of bread, and then we have a meeting for worship. Brothers and sisters, it's one meeting. It's one meeting to gather together to remember Him at the table. It's one meeting to gather together to break bread. And in that, we worship Him. As we see that cup and we see that loaf, it brings forth a worship. It brings forth an expression of our adoration and our giving Him the glory that is due His name. It's one meeting and one time, and we're so thankful. As we think about this table, this meeting and preparation for it also, one of the points that was brought out is that how the Lord can work within all of our hearts. That as we gather on the Lord's Day, we're not coming to attend a meeting, but we are coming as participants and fellow partakers of this time. And that's why it's so important for us to prepare. If we're just going to attend a meeting as a spectator, there's no need for preparation. But if the Lord can open the eyes of our hearts, showing us this matter of the priesthood of all believers and our responsibility that we have before Him, He will change our perspective of the meeting to show us that we're not coming to just attend or be those spectators, but we're coming to be active participants, fellow partakers with the Lord at this time. And that's why this matter of preparation for the Lord's table is so essential and so critical. Why are our meetings so often so weak? It's because we're unprepared. And as we think on this matter of preparation, we so often when we come unprepared, then we end up either being passive, saying, I check out, or we start relying on our soul. Our emotion takes over. We get a song that we love. Our mind takes over. We try to think up a prayer that will show. We substitute our soul for that life within His Spirit. When we're not prepared, we find many ways. But the Lord is calling us to come before His table in a prepared way. Let's look at another verse out of 1 Corinthians, this time out of chapter 14. Now, when you come to 1 Corinthians 14, the meeting that is being talked about here is a fellowship meeting. It's really not talking specifically about the Lord's table meeting. But what we can see in here are some principles and guidelines on how we can be prepared for this time. If we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26, Paul writes, "What is the outcome then, brethren? When you assemble, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification." Look at the first little phrase in that. It says, each one has. It doesn't say when you come together you will get something, or once you get there, prepare something. But as you come, each one already has this. There's a spirit of being prepared as you come to our times together. And what is the spirit of our times together? It says, let all things be done for edification. And we'll talk a little more about this later when we get into it being a corporate meeting. Everything that we do, all of the goal of our time together, it's all within the framework and the environment of a corporate expression unto Him. It should be edifying. It should be building up. And when you think of edification and building, there's being a relatedness to one another. It's not just 100 or so individuals gathering. But there's a oneness that we're gathering in one accord. But this moment, I don't want to get too far ahead. The issue is, each one has. We come prepared. We have something that we're ready to allow Him to bring forth as He directs. This principle, we see it back in the Old Testament also. Turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 16. If you look back at Deuteronomy 16, we know that in the nation of Israel, three times a year, the men went to Jerusalem to make their offerings. If we see in Deuteronomy 16, verse 16, it reads, three times a year all your males shall appear before the Lord. Well, praise God. We don't have to wait three times a year. We can come every week. And it's not just the males, it's the males and females. It's the brothers and sisters. All of us can come together weekly before the Lord. Let's see here. And three times a year shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which He chooses, at the feast of unleavened bread, at the feast of weeks, and at the feast of booths. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. As they come, they're not coming empty-handed. They're coming with something in their hands. We've been using the term on Sunday nights, coming with your baskets full. Because as you read throughout the Old Testament, you see how the priests had their baskets, and they were full of things that were going to be offered to the Lord. So we've used this expression of coming with our baskets full. And look at verse 17. It says, every man, and we'll say every brother and sister, shall give as he is able. And where does our offering come from? Look at the end of this verse. He is able according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which He has given you. What do we give back to Him? What He has given us. As we have been in His presence throughout the week, He gives us things. And when we come together, we offer them back to Him. So we see in these scriptures how the Lord desires, and we can say the Lord even expects us to come into His presence prepared for our time together. And we were asking, as the brothers are together, how do we prepare? Do we cram on Saturday night? Do we get up early on Sunday morning and do a cram session like a test? No. How do we prepare? We prepare every day. Daily, as we have that relationship with Him. Daily, as we're going through the spiritual exercise. Daily, as we're going through this school of Christ and being trained in discipleship. Daily, as we're abiding in Him. Daily, as we're in His Word. Daily, as we're meditating upon Him. Daily, as we're praying and worshiping. We're allowing Him to speak into our hearts and to give us things so that as we come together, our times as we come together on Sunday are really an overflow of our daily lives with Him. One of the reasons that our times can be so weak is because we haven't daily been preparing and allowing Him to speak, preparing our hearts. If our daily life is weak, our times on Sunday will be weak. As our daily life with Him is strengthened, we will come with our hearts being prepared, our baskets full, and there will be an overflow of praise and worship and adoration and remembering Him at His table. If we think about just even anything within our life that we're getting ready to do that means something important to us, we're going to prepare. Whether we're going on a job interview, you go on a job interview, you're going to Google and you're going to find out everything you can about that company. You're going to meet somebody important. You're going to find out as much as you can about that person. You're going to go buy a car. You're going to look at Consumer Report. You're going to do all this research. Then you're going to ask John Blanchard. And then you're going to come. You're going to spend all this time. You know, even I was talking to somebody the other day, that the number of hours they had spent on researching which coffee pot to buy. But it made me think. We spend all this time on what coffee pot to buy, but are we spending that much time in preparation to come into the presence of the King of Kings and Lords of Lords to remember Him? Oh, how the Lord is desiring to impress upon our hearts this matter of preparation and coming in a way that brings glory and honor unto Him, that He can move within our lives and bring out that expression. Another aspect of preparation is, as we read in 1 Corinthians 11, it's coming in a worthy manner. We need to, before the meeting, we don't come to the meeting and then try to see, well, I got any sins not forgiven. This is before. This is preparation. He encourages there in 1 Corinthians 11, let the Holy Spirit examine you. Are we right with the Lord? Do we have some sins? Do we have anything that we need to confess and forgive? Do we have things between brothers and sisters that we need to get settled? We come here, brothers and sisters, with a clean slate in a way that it's not worthy in ourselves because of what we've done. It's worthy because He has purchased us and redeemed us, and we have allowed His blood to cleanse us. His blood is our worthiness. It's not, I have had a good week and now I'm worthy. No. It's because we've seen what a wretched man we are, and we've allowed that blood to cleanse us of our sins. And then because He is worthy, we can be together in His presence and be in that right condition, coming in that worthy manner. And there is also a specific way that we can prepare. We know that each Saturday the scriptures are sent out regarding the opening. And the brothers, as they meet together on that their work day, they're before the Lord and they've considered, well, what is upon your heart for our time together? And then in fellowship and through prayer and consensus, there's an amen of this is the way we should go, and this is what we feel is the Lord's direction for this Lord's Day. And that scripture is sent out. And then as it's sent out, what do we do with it? It's sent out through email. So if anybody doesn't get the email, where's Mort? Mort in here? Well, I thought it was on. All right. If you don't get the email about the scripture, just speak to somebody. They'll make sure you get it. But as you get it, do you just read the scripture? Oh, okay, that's nice. I remember that. Or do we really stop and take some time and meditate upon this scripture? Stop and meditate upon this scripture and say, Lord, what is this scripture speaking to my heart about who You are? What is this scripture speaking to my heart about why we're gathering around the table? What is this scripture? And we allow the Holy Spirit to be preparing our hearts so that something else is even added to our basket. More, the much more is added as we're considering this. Now, you'll notice that as our brothers share in the opening and as they send these scriptures out, there's many various aspects of our Lord that we could remember Him for. It's unsearchable. But there's usually, we sense that they come to a consensus of there's one aspect the Lord wants us to consider this week. And as we heard this morning, that one aspect was what? Living hope. Of all of the aspects of our Lord, there's a living hope that He brings within our life. And then we consider that and we allow it to be speaking to us. Because this scripture it ties in very much with the purpose of our gathering. We can't overemphasize enough this whole matter of allowing the Holy Spirit to be speaking to us. And we can't overemphasize enough, it's come out many times on Sunday night, how we have lost the art of meditation. How we need to learn to be still and allow, as we get this verse, Genesis 28:15 and 1 Peter 1:3. What is the Holy Spirit speaking to us in this? So that as we come with our hearts prepared, and we're coming with our hearts in a oneness, focusing upon Him, to remember Him in this. If the necessity of preparation is, I don't know how much more I can say. I kind of want to keep saying, need to prepare, you need to prepare, you need to, how we need to prepare. But if it's not touching us, all we can do is go to the Lord. Lord, for some reason this is not touching me. Open the eyes of my heart. Show me, Lord, why I need to prepare. If we genuinely see His love for us at this table, it will provoke within us a response of preparation. you know, we're thankful that over the last few years we've had many young couples get married. And I enjoy seeing youthful love, because you'll see ones when they're single and their lives go a certain way. But then once they fall in love and they know they're going to get married, all of the priorities in life change. All of a sudden, this brother who didn't really care how he looked combs his hair. His brother who didn't even have a watch makes sure he's there on time. There's these changes that start taking place because there's a love. Well, how much more is the love of Christ that we see at this table capture our heart? And it would change and give us a fresh perspective on why we're gathering and why we need to come in a prepared way and have everything that we can truly make the most of the time we have. And the final word I'll give on preparation is, preparation involves preparing to be at the meeting on time. Now, everybody loves this subject. But brothers and sisters, it's really dishonoring. And I don't know if you can go as far as say insulting to the Lord and to the brethren to habitually be late. When we're in love with someone, we're not habitually late to be with our lover. And note I'm using the term habitually, because I don't want to... Anyway, I know people can be late at times. I understand that. But we need to have part of the matter of preparation is being here on time, preparing to be here on time. Because if we're not here on time, we miss the opening. We miss what our brother has shared for the direction for the whole meeting. And then you're coming in and you're saying, well, what did they say? How is this? What's going on? There's an element of being spiritually responsible of being here on time and allowing the Lord to prepare all of our hearts so that when that brother opens, after he opens, 20 or 30 don't come in and disrupt everything. So that's enough beating up on everybody. But I think it's some way, without being so hard, I want to convey the seriousness of being on time. And grant me grace to do that. And as we come with a prepared heart, then we can enter into this matter of participating at the Lord's table. As He's shown us His purpose and as He has allowed, as He's brought us into this matter of preparing us, we come to participate. And how we need to, as we said earlier, we're learning how to participate. But who is in charge of our time together? Who is in charge of our time together? And we have to all be reminded and know for certain the Holy Spirit is in charge of our time together. He is the one who directs our worship. We can come with something that we can think is so important. We can come with this great verse. We can come with this great prayer. We can come with a great song. It might even be from the Lord. And we're determined that we're going to pray that or say that regardless of whatever else goes on. That's not following the Holy Spirit. Or on the other hand, we can come and say, already determined, I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to be passive. That's not following His direction. But when we come, brothers and sisters, we come with a readiness. We come with a willingness and availability to allow the Holy Spirit to direct us and bring in whatever, how He wants this worship to be expressed. And not in a passive way, but in an entering in as participants within the meeting. And let me just say one thing too. As when we speak about participating during the meeting, we also want everyone to know we're free to participate in whatever language you are most comfortable in praying in. We know that prayer is a heart language. There's some things we can say from our mind, and we want every brother and sister to know that whatever language you are most comfortable with within your heart to lift up those prayers and adoration to Him, feel free to do that. That we can enter in. And one, if someone can interpret. If one prays in Chinese, we have other brothers that can interpret and we can understand and join in. But just, we don't want any hindrances, any natural hindrances while we're together. But we desire there to be a full release of worship and adoration unto Him. Because our Holy Spirit, He's the... We kind of use the picture of a symphony. The Holy Spirit is the conductor. And as we come with our baskets full, we might be wanting to offer this part, but the Holy Spirit says, no, offer that. It's interesting when you go to the symphony, you can have the same composer. If you take like a Tchaikovsky, he can do an 1812 overture, and you have all the drums and the cymbals and everything are going wild throughout that. Or he can do a Swan Lake, which is so gentle. But it's all under the direction of the conductor and the symphonizing together. And so as we come, we're coming with ready and available hearts. And as he says, okay, that prayer you have, offer that. And we offer it. That song you have, offer it. That praise you have, offer it. And we listen to the Holy Spirit and we allow Him to lead us and to conduct us and not hinder Him. Would we understand that we do not decide? Well, in one way, we make a final decision. But it's really the Holy Spirit's decision if we're going to pray. And then we have a choice of we're going to obey or not. The Holy Spirit says, okay, you do that. Are we ready? Are we coming with that readiness and saying, all right, Lord, here I am. You've been so wonderful this week. Just look at all. Look. We don't come and say, Lord, I'm going to do this. Regardless of what anybody else does, I'm going to offer this. No, that's not in the flow of the meeting. In a symphony, there's a flow to it. And then when we come together in our time, there's a flow to our worship that the Lord calls us unto. And we'll touch more on that in a little bit. Another aspect of participating in the meeting, and we've already touched on it some, is how important it is to recognize that this is a corporate time together. Now, praise God, brothers and sisters, when we're together, we have our own private, quiet, individual quiet times. We're free to pray, we're free to sing, we're free to be quiet, we can do this and that. Whatever is upon our heart, there's a freedom, and we can just do that. We don't have to be concerned with anybody else. Oh, how rich those times are. And this is where it's actually part of our preparation, as we have our individual times with the Lord. But then when we come together, we need to be aware that we're coming together in one accord. There's a oneness that He's brought us into. And we're no longer individuals, but we've been brought into this one body. And there's a body consciousness that is, as the Holy Spirit is leading the worship, we're conscious of the other members of the body. We're conscious of others' prayers. When one's praying, it's okay to say amen. We can join in and say amen. And we just don't wait for them to pray. You know, so that we can wait for someone to pray so then I can get my prayer in. No. We're joining. We're listening to their prayers to see what the flow of it is. And we're conscious of that flow during the time. And we're also conscious that each and every one of us are responsible. Even if you have prayed, we're still all responsible during that time. And we continue in that whole spirit, being conscious of one another and listening and allowing the Holy Spirit to direct us into that beautiful symphony together. And not just a group of 100 or so individuals throwing up various disassociated prayers and songs, but lifting up one voice, one chord. One praise and adoration unto Him under the Holy Spirit's direction. And as we see that as the Holy Spirit works, the Holy Spirit is not a spirit of confusion, but He's a spirit of order. And there's a flow to the time. As we said, you know, that brother, as he opens the time, as he brings forth that word, and it was brought forth this morning about the living hope, there's a direction for the time. And we're thankful to the Lord that so many various brothers open. Every group. So I love the number of brothers that open during the year. Because brothers and sisters, if at any meeting, one person always opens, if one person always has the scripture, one person always has the song to open, that person's just a pastor. That's not a priesthood of all believers. We're looking that many would enter in and be carrying their full baskets. And it's wonderful when many different brothers can get up here and share the thoughts. And as we have meditated upon that thought of the living hope, as we've meditated upon that scripture, then we're waiting for the Holy Spirit. Actively waiting, not passively waiting. There's a difference there. There's a passive just, well, I'm going to wait. But no, there's an active waiting of just kind of like you're waiting to get in the game. You're waiting for your turn. You're just waiting. Lord, I want to hear your voice, and I'm willing and available for you to really come in and touch me. And then as He directs, we respond and we offer up what He has given to us. And as He directs someone else, we listen, we join in, and we support that. And we saw the different aspects of hope that came out this morning, various parts of the Scripture. We're so thankful that as we look upon it, well, all of a sudden we start off with one passage out of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 on living hope, but then the Lord adds the much more. As ones have come with their baskets full and prepared, the Lord can add the much more, and we see something of the hope that we have in Him that we hadn't experienced before. Praise God for that. And then as we're gathering and as we're flowing and remembering Him, the Lord, at that point, at the crescendo, but we break the bread. We remember Him. And we come to that point of putting Him in remembrance. Do you notice after we break the bread that the cup and the empty plate is taken off? This table is empty? It's removed. And why do we do that? Because really, as we look at the table, as you see the cup and the loaf, we're remembering His death. But is that, do we continue remembering His death only after the Lord's table? After we've broken the bread, are we still just remembering His death? No, after that Lord's table, we're so thankful that as we look within the Gospel of John, what does our Lord do? He takes us to the Father. He says, I want to show you my Father. He said, as He takes us to the Father, it's after that, not so much in the Gospel of John, but the spirit of what's being shared there is that there's resurrection and there's life and there's going into the presence of the Father to see the fullness of all that we've been brought into. There's a glory there, and we're so thankful for that. And actually, some groups, the Exclusive Brethren, as we shared on Sunday night, actually have a rule that after the Lord's table, you can only worship the Father. Now, we're not, as we said, we're not setting up rules and laws, but we want to have an understanding of the Scripture that in the flow when our Lord instituted His supper, there was a remembering Him His death, but then there was a taking us to the Father, in the presence of the Father. Now again, we're not doing that in a mechanical way, but just being aware that as the Holy Spirit is prompting us, as He's leading us, we don't, at the end of the meeting, go back and remember how He died for us. We're remembering then how He's seated in the heavenlies, how the glorious resurrection life that we have in Him, Christ in us, that hope of glory. Praise God for that. And we can, so there is an overall flow to the meeting, and as the Holy Spirit directs us, we can be sensitive to this, and we can allow Him to lead us into a fuller and a greater way of expressing that worship. And then, as we've been expressing our worship, a brother will, towards the end, come up and pray to close the time. If I can say this, because we've shared on Sunday nights, one of our weaknesses is really the closing points during our meeting. Because oftentimes, the Holy Spirit has already ended the meeting. And to fill up time, we just start singing songs. We can have a little song fest to sing songs that we already had, and so we can just start singing songs. And we need to be sensitive to this. We say it that we could be aware that we can just start, oh, this is a good song, we sing that, and we go into our song fest. But actually, the Holy Spirit closed the meeting 5 or 10 minutes ago. And how we need for the Holy Spirit to be touching us and teaching us that we could be sensitive to Him to know. Because closing the meeting is just as critical as opening it. We close with that testimony. He is the Amen. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the start. He's the end. We end up in that note of victory and triumph in Him for all that He has done. Blessed be the... John read the scripture even to this morning to close. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father. We're closing with that blessedness to Him. Praise God for that. May He teach us how to truly remember Him. Now, speaking of songs and music, we had some very precious times of fellowship around music during our times together. And a question we have again is, who leads the music? Do our brethren with the instruments lead the music? No, that's right. The Holy Spirit leads the music. Do I lead the music? Am I free to choose whatever song I want to sing, whatever song feels good to me? No. You're not. The Holy Spirit, if He touches you, you're free to call out that song. But we're not led by ones, and we're not having a free-for-all either. We're under the direction of the Holy Spirit to really come in and teach us how to offer up that song and worship at the right time. He prompts us in a right way. How we need to learn in this area so much. Some always have a hymn, but nothing else. There's a fullness of our inner. He wants us to offer in with our hymns and our praise and our worship and our expressions. Some only ever have a chorus. Sometimes we can fall into a habit of if someone's prayer, at the end of someone's prayer, a certain phrase is used, we say, aha, that I remember this chorus over here, so we start that chorus. It might be the Lord, but it might just be our own natural connecting. If the Holy Spirit connects it, praise God. But there's a sensitivity that we need to be aware of. Is it the Holy Spirit or is it just us? The Lord is such a beautiful God when He's flowing throughout our time. And we sense the flow and the worship and the adoration that's going up to Him. And we've all experienced of how we're flowing and worshiping Him in one direction, and then another song is called out, and it's kind of like the loud clanging cymbal. It's kind of like this clang. Where did that song come from? But then we come back and we keep going. But it's just that we could learn. You know, praise God, we're learners in this. But brother, I really, as we fellowship on Sunday night, what the Lord really loves when we're gathered together is our personal prayers, our individual prayers, our individual offerings of prayer and thanksgiving to Him. Don't hide behind a song. Don't hide behind a chorus. Don't hide behind a hymn. He desires to hear all that we have to offer unto Him. Oftentimes we can hide behind a chorus of a hymn because we're not prepared. And it can disguise our unpreparedness. We come and we offer a hymn. It sounds like, oh, they're prepared. The Holy Spirit, He knows. He wants us to come in with this heart prepared and open to Him. Yes, we do use music and worship and adoration unto Him. There is the place of music and worship and the hymns and choruses during our time. But our primary way of expressing worship during our time together are our individual prayers. The primary way of expressing our worship, expressing our adoration unto Him, are our individual prayers and thanksgiving unto Him during our time. And then He will, as we've said, at times He will bring forth a chorus. He will bring forth a hymn under His direction. Now, as we remember, as we're thinking on this matter of our music, we also have to remember the purpose of our time together is to remember Him. And some songs just don't fit into that category. They can be beautiful songs, but they're not appropriate for our time around the Lord's table. They can be petitions. They can be focusing upon us and not focusing upon Him. There's a beautiful song, "Give Us Vision, Lord." Give us vision. Now, before maybe a message, that's an appropriate song to sing. Give us vision, Lord. Because that's a petition. We're asking of something. But when we're around the Lord's table, we're not asking. We're returning with hearts of thanksgiving. And we're giving unto Him. It's not time to ask for petition. It's not focused on Him. There's songs, "I want to know You, Lord, much more than I do." Well, that's the song we sing in preparation. That's not the song we sing during the meeting. I want to know. It's in the breaking of bread. We know Him. In the Gospel of Luke, when he broke the bread, we know it. There's these petition songs that were actually, they're very helpful for us during our time of preparation. And during our individual daily time with Him, we offer up these prayers, these songs, these petitions, and worship songs too at that time. But during our time together, we just need to be sensitive. Again, we're not setting up rules. Nobody's going to be thrown out of the meeting if you ask a certain hymn or song. But it's creating a sensitivity within all of us that there's certain songs that, well, that's really not appropriate for this time. It's really not bringing forth a praise and worship and adoration unto Him. Maybe, as we said, it's appropriate for another time, but not this. This is something that we can become aware of. But what is our greatest hindrance to entering in, to participating during the Lord's table? And we've already talked about, you know, preparation and being passive. But what is the greatest hindrance? And the greatest hindrance is our self. Self-consciousness. Fear of man. Trying to protect ourselves. Thinking if I pray, someone will laugh at me. If I pray, they'll look down. They'll see how unspiritual I am. Oh, that's a lie of the enemy. There's nothing more joyful to the Father's heart. There's nothing more joyful to the brother's and sister's heart than for one to open up their mouth and tell the Lord how much they love Him. There's nothing more joyful to the hearts of brothers and sisters than to hear one who has never maybe prayed before, to hear that voice, to hear that mouth opened up. There's no condemnation. There's no looking down. There's no judging. Some say, oh, my prayer is so simple. I can't pray like others. Praise God, brothers and sisters. I thank the Lord. The Lord loves simplicity. Our problem is not with simplicity. Our problem is with complexity. Sometimes we try to make our prayer so complex. We pray from Genesis to Revelation. And we're covering the whole purpose of God in one prayer. But at a time of worship, there's a focus. And the Lord is looking for a simplicity of response unto Him. And sure, those that are a little older in the Lord, what's simple to them may be sound complex to you, a little more advanced, a little more, but it's simple to them. But the Lord is just looking for an honest response from our heart. And would that we join in and really support one another. How do you do that? As we said, others have shared. It's simply overcoming self-life. How do we overcome? We overcome by the one who is overcome. We're constrained by the love of Christ. As we see His love for us at the table, as we see His marvelous love, His love overcomes our self-love. We cannot overcome our love of ourselves, but He can. And His love, the one who has overcome, can overcome our self-love if we're willing and available. If we're saying, Lord, I want to break through. Lord, I want to deny myself. And I want to respond to You. And as we take these simple steps of faith, the very life within us, the overcoming life within us, that living hope that we have will burst forth in a marvelous, wonderful way. Praise God. Now, will we all, we've talked a little bit about the flow. Will we always be in the flow of things? You know, hopefully we would. But more than likely, you know, we're not. I mean, I'm not going to stand up here and say every one of my prayers over the years have always been in the flow. I've had some clunkers at times. But as I've had those clunkers, I've had allowed the Holy Spirit, you know afterwards, boy, that wasn't it. But the Holy Spirit can teach us. We learn by participating. You learn by playing the game. You don't learn by sitting on the bench. You learn by getting in there, participating, and just allow. This is the marvelous thing about Peter. Peter got out there. You know, I'm glad they weren't playing basketball. Peter would have fouled out so quickly. Those five, he'd have been gone. He had unlimited fouls. And he kept getting back up, and he learned from the things that of where he had opened his mouth and stuck his foot in his mouth and all of this. Praise God, he got back up, he saw the Lord's love, and he kept going on. He kept participating. Often times when we really mess up, we listen to the enemy, and we say, you're disqualified, you can't pray anymore. That was such a horrible prayer, you could never pray again. That's a lie of the enemy. What happens when you fall off the horse? You get back on the horse, and you ride again. You get back up, and you keep going on, and we don't protect ourselves even more. Would we be willing to be fools for Christ? You know, Christ became that fool in the eyes of man. Are we willing to be fools for Christ during our times together so that we can learn of Him? Now, it's not a free-for-all in ourselves, but as we sense the Holy Spirit leading us, we enter in. So we messed up. Maybe we hit it right this time, but maybe we didn't. Maybe we make a fool of ourselves. I'm making a fool of myself today. But we just get up and we go back and we continue on and allow the Lord to teach us and the love of the brethren to encourage us on. Oh, how we need to have that teachable heart, that teachable spirit within us. It was a question asked also of one asked a question one time, was asked, how do you know if you miss the Holy Spirit? How do you know? We got pretty practical sign. How do you know if you miss the Holy Spirit? Well, one of the ways that came out is that you have a prayer on your heart and you're sitting there. You got this prayer. You say, should I pray this? I don't know. We wrestle back and forth and we're going around. And then somebody else prays that exact same prayer. And it's like you've missed your opportunity. Learn from that. Again, the Lord doesn't condemn us, but we learn from it. And the next time we have this impression, we offer our prayer. And we enter in and we learn. We're all learners, brothers and sisters. There's no experts here. We're all learning together of how to be spiritually responsible at the Lord's table. And that's what's been very precious about our brothers' times on Sunday night, is that we don't have the answers, but we're seeking the one who has the answer. And we can search the Scriptures and allow the Holy Spirit through His Word to teach us and train us in all things. Just in conclusion, I really pray that in a very fresh way, the Lord would show us the tremendous privilege that we have every Lord's Day of coming to His table. What a privilege we have. How precious it is. Has the preciousness and the privilege of this time captured us? And again, we've used this term many times. If it hasn't, would we be teachable? Would we have a teachability within our hearts? As we see the preciousness of it, would He in a fresh way show us the purpose of our time? The very purpose of why we're gathering around this table. To remember Him. To remember Him until He comes again. We're gathering in a spirit of remembrance. And in that spirit of remembrance, we're also testifying, we're proclaiming to who He is and what He's done. Would we learn from the Scriptures how the Lord desires, the Lord requests, the Lord in many ways expects that we come into His presence in a prepared way, with our baskets full, allowing us to, that our daily lives would be strengthened in such a way that as we come together on the Lord's Day, there would be such an overflow. Brothers and sisters, if our daily lives are strengthened and we can come together as prepared, our meetings would be revolutionized. There would be that overflow of life, that overflow of release unto Him. And as we come, would we come as those that are ready and willing and available unto Him? With the desire, the real desire that we have. Again, we're not trying to create a perfect meeting. We're not trying to do the right, wrong. That's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But our desire is that through our times together, He would be satisfied. The goal is not that we're satisfied. Praise God, we are satisfied quite often by the goodness of the Lord. But our real desire is that our Lord, wonderful Lord and Savior and His marvelous Father, He would be satisfied. He would say, oh, that was a sweet savor. Oh, they remembered my Son so preciously. They beheld the Lamb of God. And it brings joy to my heart. Would that our Father's heart be satisfied with our times together. Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful, Lord, that we have this marvelous privilege to gather every Lord's Day around Your table. We're so thankful, Lord, for that. And Lord, we do pray that You would forgive us where we have taken it carelessly, where we have come in a passive way. Lord, we want to be presenting ourselves unto You as those that can really learn of You, Lord, in this hour. Lord, we want to know Your ways that we might know You, that we can know more and more of Your wonderful self, and that as we gather, there would be that testimony of Christ being within our midst, and that sweet savor, that fragrant aroma being offered up unto You. In Jesus' name.